Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's Monday of trade deadline week. It's Monday after Super Bowl. The NBA takes center stage now, other than March Madness. The NBA, this is the time of year when the NBA is at the center of a lot of focus, really from the trade deadline through free agency. Our lives are over. Those of us who work in the profession, of course. If you're a listener and you're a fan, this is the best time of year. That laugh is from our man Band McMahon, who is in Dallas and will be attending the Kristaps Porzingis press conference scheduled later today, his arrival press conference. We'll talk about that in a minute. Joining us from Boston, where the Celtics had a quality win over the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday, is Jackie McMullen. Jackie, obviously, Kyrie, sent the Celtics for a loop, over the weekend. But while no one's watching, the Celtics have won 9 of 10 games, have moved into a tie for third place, and are looking like the team we all thought they would. First off, what was your reaction to what Kyrie said in New York on Friday, which was that, ask me July 1st on free agency?
Well, you and I have talked about this, Brian. Something, I haven't seen Kyrie, and I will see him this week. Something transpired in the last week to 10 days, aside from the obvious, that the team hasn't panned out the way everybody had thought, that we talk about it over and over. Poor Gordon Hayward, I hate to keep dumping everything on his head. But that, you know, his progress from his catastrophic injury has been slow and uninspiring, to say the least. And by the way, as they win 9 out of 10, that hasn't really changed that much, although we see glimpses, right? We see little glimpses. So other than that, it just seems to me that this Anthony Davis declaration, I think it just turned the whole league upside down. And there was immediate... some information that was real, some information that wasn't. And you know Kyrie, he's hypersensitive to a lot of different things. And I go back to, and you remember this, Brian, the incident with Ty Lue that turned his mind against Ty in Cleveland. And it was sort of somewhat innocuous thing, right? They're talking in a practice.
Practice, not a game.
Game. practice. And there was a conversation about, hey, we'd like you to distribute the ball. Let's get these plays, you know, these players more involved. And he says, well, that's LeBron's job. And then it turns into like a very major thing for Kyrie. I think he perceived it as, well, you're in LeBron, you know, you don't have my back. You have LeBron's back. Even though I think Ty Lue always had Kyrie's back, went out of his way to have Kyrie's back. So I think, he tends to be somewhat hypersensitive to these situations, which I can understand to a certain degree. So now we get the word that Anthony Davis wants to trade, and everybody in Boston just goes absolutely crazy because they've been talking about Anthony Davis for 5 years, long before Kyrie Irving ever even entered their minds, okay? So here's Kyrie carrying the team, having the best season of his career. I mean, averaging 10-plus assists now for I don't know how many games, playing defense, MVP kind of season. And everybody's going bonkers about Anthony Davis. And this was his team, right? Boston's his team. And now everybody's just saying, trade anything for Anthony Davis, even Kyrie Irving. And I think that probably, and this is all conjecture on my part, because I haven't talked to Kyrie yet. And I'm sure that bothered him a bit. And then I do believe that someone leaked information that the Celtics were looking into trading Kyrie so they could get Anthony Davis now. Now, all my intel, Brian, tells me that never happened. That wasn't true. But if Kyrie Irving heard it and believed it for even a second, you can understand why his mood may have soured. Okay.
Well, I would never go head to head with you on Celtics information. But the word that I have is that the Celtics aren't trying to win the title this year. They have not given up on that, and they will not be making any trades. Kyrie is not getting traded.
Of course not. So we're in agreement on that. But if someone told Kyrie, Maybe Anthony Davis or his father or maybe his third cousin. That was an interesting little tidbit. All of that, I think it affects him. And I understand why, because he has done everything you could possibly ask for this Boston Celtics team. He's distributed the ball. He's played defense, all the things that people have criticized him for in the past. And it's you know, in his mind, he's like, look, it's not my fault. We're in fifth place. Now they're tied for third. He was in a great mood after the game Sunday, yesterday. Played great. They played great. That was a big win for them for a lot of reasons. I don't think anything happens before the trade deadline, but you are really rolling the dice here because what is Kyrie going to be feeling come July 1st? Let's look at the top four teams in the East. If you end up getting out in the second round, okay, let's say, so the top four teams, I think, advance after the, if you're knocked out in the second round in the East, is that enough for Kyrie Irving to say, yeah, no, we can do this. We're going to win it all. I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing. This is always the thing I always said about LeBron free agencies. If you get knocked out in the second round, it means you're done like May 10th, and you have 7 weeks before free agency. Things happen in 7 weeks. Kyrie, in that, you know, first off, I believe that there is an information war going on here, and I know it's happening. It's happening across our world. We are in the middle of the information business, so we are factors in that, and we contribute to it. But there is absolutely an information war going on. And Kyrie expressed his frustration with all this when he said this business, and he was referring to the media business, he said it was effed up on Friday. And by the way, there are times when I agree with that, that there is some stuff going on right now. But then you have Kyrie... That night, he has a good game. It wasn't a great game for him, a really good game for anybody, but, you know, he wasn't over the moon, but it was a good game. They win in the Garden, which is not that big of a deal. You know, he gets cheers, you know, and everything. And he's doing the post-game interview with Cassidy Hubberth, and he tells Cassidy, knowing that the national television audience is watching, wait, calls his father down to give him his jersey in a strange grandstanding moment. So what I'd say is that Kyrie knows how to play this game too, and everybody is playing games right now, and it's a pretty remarkable time. But you know, here's him with his dad, and then we have Anthony Davis's father firing a missile. To give some background, go ahead.
Well, no, let's state the obvious here. Anthony Davis's father loves his son. I don't know Mr. Davis. I'm sure he's a wonderful man. But there isn't a GM in this league that would have hesitated to make the exact same trade the Boston Celtics made. And that includes Irvin Johnson and Rob Pelinka and Daryl Morey and anyone else you can name. It was a great trade. Everybody would have made that trade. Not just the Celtics, not just Danny Ainge. Everybody. So, I mean, shenanigans, Mr. Davis, with all due respect.
McMahon, what do you think of Anthony Davis Sr.?
I mean, it sounds to me like they're doing everything within their power to try to get him to L.A., obviously. But if I'm Dell Demps, I'm like, okay, who cares? If Boston's willing to bid this summer, we're waiting. Like, I don't care where you want to play. You don't want to play in New Orleans, so that's, you know, it ain't our problem. And it's not a bitterness thing, you know. I mean, maybe scrubbing him from the hype video was a bitterness thing. I don't know. It was at least a pettiness thing. But there's if you're Dell Demps, the GM in New Orleans, you're not just going to say, okay, you want to go to L.A., let's get the best deal we can with absolutely zero leverage. That's not how that works.
Well, then there's the whole thing. I mean, I don't know if I want to debate the word loyalty, but – you know, because Anthony Davis has been there his whole career, but you know, he's a year and a half off of his contract still, and he, you know, he's saying, "Get me out of here." I just think it's tough to invoke loyalty in that regard.
The business, you know, cuts both ways, you know. And look, Danny Ainge is a ruthless businessman who did what was best for the Celtics. Clearly, you know, despite the fact that it was, you know, I mean, obviously personally. A tough thing to do, but look, that's the business that the players are in, and that's why I don't have a problem when a player tries to take control of his own situation, like Anthony Davis is now. Although I don't know, he was kind of mealy mouthed when he finally talked to the media, and you know what?
Yeah, that
whatever.
Wasn't. He really didn't have much to say. He gave it in.
No,
he's letting everybody else say. He doesn't have to, guys. He's letting everybody else say it for him. The machine is in full, and I don't blame them anyway. By the way, let's be clear. This is gamesmanship. This is how it works. So you can't blame Rich Paul and Clutch Sports for doing this. I understand it completely. This is how the game is played. Now, but the thing is, it is a game. And Dell Demps isn't playing. He's just not. See you guys later.
And he's got pop in his ear saying, don't cave in to the Lakers. Don't cave in to the Lakers.
Yeah, you know, so I feel like Rich Paul, his agent, Anthony Davis Sr., his dad, and Anthony Davis Jr. are doing everything in their power before Thursday at 3 o'clock to get him to the Lakers. If/when that doesn't happen.
That's when it really gets interesting.
I think you may see a flopping of strategy. Because once the Celtics become a legitimate option here, which they are really not right now in terms of a trade before Thursday, I think you may see adjustment. I'll just go back to the Kevin, you know, you remember this vividly, I'm sure, Jackie, when Kevin Garnett basically, I don't know if he was quoted, but it was sounded by his agent, Andy Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin does not want to be traded to Boston. I don't remember what his rationale was at the time. You know, he wants out of Minnesota, but he does not want to be traded to Boston. And
well, let's correct that. He truly, honestly, really didn't want out of Minnesota. They just wouldn't pay him. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this. It wasn't like Anthony Davis where they're like, stay here, we'll give you the max. That's not what was going on in Minnesota. So I remember that very well. I was in the middle of all that. But you know what's different here, Brian, is what changed it was they traded for Ray Allen.
Right.
And then
right.
He's like,
and,
you know, okay,
the,
maybe.
The circumstance changed. But there was a time when his agent came out on the record, if I'm not mistaken, I remember it as being on the record, and saying, my client does not want to go to Boston.
Right.
And
that's true.
He ended up in Boston. So,
pretty happy there too, I might add.
Yes. And I think so. I just think it's, let's let history be our guide here, that just because these things are being said today does not mean that it's going to end up that way. And McMahon, you know, you mentioned about Pop. You know, here's my viewpoint on it. I just don't think that the Lakers' assets are that attractive.
No.
I think if they were trying to trade for another player, like for example, let's say they were trying to trade for Mike Conley. I absolutely think they could make a deal for Mike Conley with those assets. Let's say they were trying to trade for, God, give me another all-star. I don't know. Like Blake, I don't know. Probably
well,
90.
Say like Tobias Harris, let's just say.
Like, yeah, they have the assets to trade for really good players. They just don't have the assets to trade for this particular player. And so while Greg Popovich probably did not want to acquiesce to Kawhi Leonard, and that's why they didn't really do business and they were annoyed with the way the Lakers, you know, handled the trade talks, ultimately if the Lakers had the goods, their deal would get done.
But the crazy thing is, the Lakers, I mean, they're lowballing even with what they have to offer.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, I know. I'm sure the Lakers are annoyed that their trade offers are getting reported. It's causing some issues out there. They apparently had a little kerfluffle in the locker room the other night. I have no idea whether that had anything to do with it. But as Jackie mentioned, the Anthony Davis trade demand has been destabilizing for four or five teams
everybody.
Out there.
You know what would be a fun story, Brian? To list all the players who have been mentioned in the Anthony Davis trade nonsense before Thursday. I'm going to assign you the story right now, Brian, even though you're moving hell. And go around and get all these guys. Like, you could make a good, like, young contending team out of the list of players that have been linked to Anthony Davis in the last 3 days.
And that's why
and it's multiple teams. Multiple teams. Yeah, we're talking Sixers, Celtics, Lakers, you know.
And that's why, like, I think the Celtics, they're playing well. Despite all this, despite this distraction, this is the best they've played.
Does Kyrie thrive in chaos, though? In LeBron
that's
a little bit like that? Maybe
that's
he
how he lived in
that.
Cleveland. Yeah. That's
I,
how they lived
yeah,
in Cleveland.
I don't know if he thrives in it, but he can handle it. Let's put it that way. I think LeBron thrives in chaos, and that's been proven time and time again, and more power to him. I think with Kyrie, he likes a little edge, right? He likes everybody to be a little bit on edge. Does that sound right? And I think that's a good thing. So
do you think there's any possibility that the Lakers get Anthony Davis by Thursday?
I don't. But you know, you never say never.
I was going to say, leave a little wiggle room.
Always, always a little wiggle room. But they've certainly tried. They've got all their wheels in motion. They've got the machine humming. But it just doesn't make sense for New Orleans to do it. It comes back to New Orleans, who ultimately has the say in it. And so, but I do think if you're a Boston Celtics fan, you are queasy. You are really queasy because Kyrie has thrown you into a tizzy and really hasn't backtracked on any of that stuff. And maybe he will, you know, as we go along here. He, like I said, he seemed very happy yesterday. But, I mean, he's left you with a very queasy feeling. Because if you lose him, then there's no way Anthony Davis is coming. And then what do you do? Then what do you do?
Well, this is a chicken.
And not only that, if you lose him, there's suddenly another legit contender in the Eastern Conference, probably. I'm saying if you lose him and it's a KD Kyrie combo in New York and they get they've got a top five pick, and suddenly the Knicks look like from a laughing stock of the league to a legit Eastern Conference contender.
Well, right. I could pull out a whiteboard and show you how the Knicks could end up with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis next summer.
Before you do pull out that whiteboard, we have to stop for a moment and pay some bills.
God, you are so annoying with this. Andrew, you know I'm from Akron, Ohio.
Congratulations. I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's known as the home of LeBron James, but before it was known as the home of LeBron James, it was known as the home of Goodyear. So the fact that we have Goodyear as a part of this podcast is of particular pride to me. My grandfather worked at the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company for like 47 years or something like that. I was raised, sir, on Goodyear. If I had anything other than Goodyear tires on my car, my grandfather would have taken me into the woodshed and probably spoke to me violently the entire way. So I'm glad to say that basketball season is in full swing. This is when things start to get interesting and true contenders start to outperform the rest. And whenever you're driving your family and friends this basketball season, you should make sure your car has the right tires to get you there safely. Goodyear knows that performance is everything, whether it's on the road or on the court. So when it comes to choosing tires, let Goodyear.com help you choose what's best. By the way, the Goodyear Wingfoots historic basketball program in like the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Larry Brown. The great Larry Brown, former Goodyear Wingfoot, amongst other guys. Goodyear has a long history in basketball, and I could go on and on about Goodyear, but we have to move on. But Goodyear, more driven. So, I mean, this is giving the Knicks, like, Miami Heat-level competency execution, you know, style. But the Knicks now have cap space for two maxes, which in theory they could use to sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They have their unprotected first-round pick, Dennis Smith Jr., and the two draft picks that they just got from the Mavericks. Plus, they have a couple of other assets on the roster, including Kevin Knox. Mm-hmm. It's not out of the realm of possibility, especially if their pick landed in the top two, that they could flop that pick in a package for Anthony Davis. Again, this is more theoretical.
Yeah, I would say.
But because the Knicks are not known for closing deals. That said, I don't think it should be ignored that they now have this window. And the situation with Kyrie and the Celtics, as I wrote about this, over the weekend, it's a chicken and it's now developed into a chicken and egg thing. For the Celtics to put the best offer that they possibly can make for Anthony Davis, they really need to know that Kyrie Irving is committed. So that they know that if they're going to trade Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and whoever is going to be in that offer, that they need to know that at the end of it, when the dust settles, they have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. But to do that, to get the commitment from Kyrie Irving, don't you think you have to have Anthony Davis? And, you know, it's so you get into this sort of weird game of a stare down where you really need to know Kyrie is committed before you go all in. And you're not going to necessarily know that at the end of the finals when they hope they're having to make this decision. This is a, And this is why Kyrie's commitment was such a huge asset for them. Not only were they able in theory to go through the season without the drama that the Raptors are going through, a little bit that the Warriors are going through with their top player as a free agent, but
a little bit.
But now they have this issue with actually assembling their team, and this was something that is now thrust upon them as they compete, and it's a statement on the modern NBA where the transactions are as important as the games themselves.
I will say this that I find interesting. You know, we're talking about the New York as the epicenter of all of this, which I think is good for the league because I think it's always good when the Knicks are good. Madison Square Garden actually is relevant, which it hasn't been for such a long time. But the funny thing that I just haven't heard mentioned that just shocks me is, have we forgotten who the owner of the New York Knicks is?
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that's just been glossed over here. I mean, do we need to remind everybody some of the things that James Dolan has done during his tenure as the owner of the New York Knicks?
And not only that, okay, I'm not comparing this to the – yeah, I am actually. Screw it. As much talk as there is about – as much talk as there is about, oh, the Celtics are so disloyal to Isaiah Thomas, da-da-da. They certainly didn't badmouth him on his way out the door. The Knicks are like on this smear campaign against Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, did you see the in-house TV graphic? Ian Bagley and some of the other New York Knicks beat guys tweeted it. It's the bullet points for Kristaps Porzingis' career on the MSG Network. One of them was skipped exit meeting after 2016-17. Hey,
you know, 2017
season.
All-Star, skipped exit meeting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And if you don't think, of all the teams, if you don't think the Knicks have say on what goes on their TV broadcast, you're absolutely kidding.
Well, they own the network, so I would say so.
So taking petty shots at a guy who briefly, but still was the face of your franchise on his way out the door. That's your approach going into your star shopping in free agency this summer. That doesn't seem to be very smart to me.
You're 100% on the screws. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of willing to just disregard a lot of the stuff that's being said out of the Anthony Davis camp right now, because they're sort of thrashing around trying to make this happen, this impossible trade happen. And once the door closes on Thursday, I just think you're going to see a complete change in behavior out of them, because at that point they have to realize that Boston becomes a much more legitimate situation and they're going to have to prepare for that. So we'll see how that goes. I want to look at some other stuff that's going on in the league. First off, with Porzingis, McMahon, I feel like I might be in the minority on this. I thought the Knicks did really well in this trade. Considering they were doing a salary dump, they were able to acquire two first-round picks and Dennis Smith Jr., who's almost like a first-round pick. It's almost like three first-round picks. And granted, Porzingis is a talent, and the Mavericks see him as their foundational piece going forward. Did you think that I feel like the Mavericks gave up a lot in this trade, especially considering they took on all this money? Am I way off base here? You think I'm wrong?
I think it was an absolute no-brainer, do it in a heartbeat deal for the Mavericks, but I don't. I'm not shooting down your point. The two first round picks are a significant price. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., that was a guy who didn't fit here. We all know they shopped him. They couldn't find value for him. You know, as recently as a week ago, it looked like, okay, boy, we're going to have to kind of continue this awkward dance with him for the rest of the season and then try to shop him again this summer. So for them to be able to get value for him at this time, I thought was fortunate for them and good work by them. And you know what? They want to get in the playoffs next year. And I think while obviously Hardaway and Courtney Lee are expensive, it's not like the salary dumps they took back aren't guys who will be, you know, quality rotation players for them. You know, just talking to like pretty much every scout I ran into, Paul. I was on the road this week. I said, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Every single one was like, this is an absolute no-brainer for the Mavericks. Great deal for the Mavericks. Man, I can't believe they pulled this off. But most of them were also like, but you know what? It makes sense for the Knicks, too. So, and especially, look, if the Knicks have wink-wink or at least strong indications from KD and Kyrie, then it's an absolute, you know, great deal for them.
I don't trust winks from anybody in this day and age.
Well, I don't trust winks from anybody. The other thing is I don't trust Knicks management. I just don't. You know what it is? It's interesting, though, because here the Mavericks are, the franchise that was kind of the face of striking out in free agency since, in this CBA. And finally, they're like, screw it. They're going back to their old ways. And that's, you know, take on bad contracts to get big assets. And now they're set up with, if Porzingis is healthy, and that's obviously a big if, or if he can get healthy and stay healthy, I should say. I mean, find me a better 23 and under duo in the league than Porzingis and Luka Doncic. So that's why for the Mavericks, it was an absolute no-brainer of a deal.
Let me ask you this question, Tim, because I was thinking about this. You know, this happened so quickly, and we've all talked about that. And if I were training for a guy coming off an ACL tear, I would want some time to look at his medicals. Now, I'm sure they looked at them, but wouldn't you want to bring him in and examine him before you pull the trigger?
I just think with a talent like Porzingis, I don't know. They were talking about it for a few days. I mean, obviously the game in Madison Square Garden, the Mavs-Knicks game was a total let's showcase Dennis Smith Jr. game, and he'll never get 15 assists in a game again. I can promise you that. But, like I said, when you're talking about 7'3", that skilled, that athletic, that young, they had enough to feel like it was on track. But no, I hear you.
What's the rush, right? The deadline's not until February 7th. Bring him in, have your, you know, clandestinely bring him in, and maybe they did this, but I don't think they did, right? And
no,
why not
bring him in
and have your medical staff look at him? I don't know.
It's now, just, I, you just, know what? I do, although I'll say this, they were in Madison Square Garden, the night before, and Porzingis made a rare appearance at a Knicks game, from my understanding. So maybe they did. I don't know this.
Maybe they did. I'm just curious.
I probably should ask around. Maybe they were able to look at him, and, you know, have their medical people get their hands on him, during that trip to New York. I don't know that.
Okay. Yeah, I just wondered.
Well, they would have had a physical between now and the deal being, they certainly looked at him since then.
Yeah,
right.
The plan is he will not play the rest of the season. My understanding is that's the plan because that's the plan that Porzingis and his camp are comfortable with. But the Mavericks, after looking at the knee, they feel like, look, you know, he's in good shape. I mean, the knee looks good. Everything's looking positive. I was a little surprised by that, and I guess because I maybe misunderstood the situation. I felt like it was a Knicks thing of, well, hey, we're in tank mode. We don't need Porzingis coming back and accidentally helping us win some games down the stretch. Let's just hold him out for the season. But that's as much a Porzingis plan as it was a Knicks plan, which is where I thought that the Mavericks would get him before the season.
When you quoted Mark Cuban saying that he was probably going to sit the season, I was surprised as well.
Yeah, and I went back a couple times on that and was like, well, hold on. Are you sure about this? And yeah.
So one thing I'll say about the Knicks, they're making it look like they intend to keep DeAndre Jordan. You know, you can extrapolate this out. DeAndre Jordan has a relationship with Kevin Durant, although – I don't know how they can't keep him at any real number.
If they keep his bird rights, there's the whole plan is
Hey, if you're Houston, do you make a run for him? Because you got Capella out and you're small and you could use a little more rebounding.
But Capella's coming back right after the All-Star break. And so, you know, I'm not saying no, but then are you going to have DeAndre coming off the bench after that? And is that something DeAndre wants to do, especially in his hometown? I just don't think DeAndre at this point.
Well, he's got another contract. Yeah, he's got another contract.
Yeah.
I think
DeAndre's bought out, I think the Lakers are a lot more likely.
I would keep a close eye. What about the Warriors? The Warriors are going to get another big man. It's going to be Robin Lopez or I don't know about Cantor, but so If Wesley Matthews gets bought out, I mean, if you're a 76ers fan, keep a real close eye on Wesley Matthews.
Or a Rockets fan.
Right.
Help. But you're talking like, what was he, 18? It's a big number, right? I mean, I guess you get bought out, you don't have to take much of it. Yeah.
Right, the buyout is, as you know, it's here's the rest of your money minus the minimum you can get somewhere else, and good luck to you.
I mean, so Philly still has, fairly certain Philly still has their mid-level. I think
the Rockets have a good chunk of it too. Now, whether they want to spend that and deal with the luxury tax.
But I mean, just think about this. If you're Wesley Matthews, you just saw Corey Brewer get signed off the street, walk into Philly and play like immediately, like 28 minutes. You know that Philly, last year, they were the biggest winners of the buyout game I think I've ever seen, getting Bellinelli and Ilyasova and really helping them. They're in bad need of a wing player. Boy, if Wes Matthews comes available, that's going to be interesting. And I'm looking at Philly, but you're right. Houston's an expert at this. Houston's is so good.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you look at like buyout success, it's funny because Houston, quote-unquote, won the buyout market last year, and Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright contributed absolutely nothing during the playoffs.
Right.
But having said that, like this year, you know, Fareed steps right in the starting lineup while Capella's out.
Game the other night.
Yeah, I mean, and he's putting up numbers. You know, Austin Rivers, honestly, has had to play too many minutes, and he's kind of faded lately. But, you know, he stepped right in.
He gave him a good jolt,
he was a huge part of them not only surviving CP3's absence, but, you know, really playing well during that stretch. And, you know, the thing with Wes, like, he's no longer your guy who can, you say, hey, go sick the other team's leading scorer for 35 minutes. No, he's not that guy anymore. And he's definitely not a guy you want running offense through. But if he's a 3-and-D, you know, 20-something minutes off the bench type of dude, he's going to help a team if he's in the buyout market.
There's an ESPN podcast that can improve your love life, and this is it. So listen up. Valentine's Day isn't the time of year for rookie moves. Leave it to the pros at Edible Arrangements. It's the freshest fruit married with the finest chocolate, artfully arranged to make a big impression. And with over 20 decadent Valentine's Day gifts and arrangements to choose from, you don't have to be exclusive. It doesn't make any difference if it's for that special someone or all of your special someones. Andrew, I know that applies to you. When you feel love, share love with Edible Arrangements. Stand out from the crowd this Valentine's Day, and it pays to plan ahead. Order by February 10th and take 20% off all pickup orders over $50. Stop by your local Edible Arrangements and experience love at first bite. Or, of course, order online and have it delivered at edible.com. So let's take a look at some other stuff that we may see this week. I want to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies, in my mind, have a good chance of trading 3 to 5 players by Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, Parsons could be attached in there. So, but the guys who actually...
I don't think they're going to be able to pull that off. But
well, I mean, he's part of the 3 to 5. But the three guys that actually could matter somewhere else, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, and Jermichael Green. There's been some reporting
Maybe
out there.
Justin Holiday too, right? Maybe
that's
Justin
right.
Holiday.
You're right. That's why those are the
Temple
five.
Even.
Yeah, those are the five. Parsons and Holiday. So
anybody but Jaren Jackson Jr. is what I would say. But yeah,
fair. That's fair. So I feel like Mike Conley Jr. going to the Jazz, and you're our resident Jazz expert. I feel like that is a home run move.
Absolutely.
For Utah. It is a big number. Now, he's going to probably play enough games this year. I don't know if he's already made it or he's close, but I think he's got to play a certain number of games this year. I don't know what it is off the top of my head to fully guarantee his last year, but essentially it's 2 years and $66 million, $32 million next year, $34 million the year after that. It would be the biggest number the Jazz have ever seen in terms of salary. But the Jazz are a team that's headed towards cap space anyway, and I doubt they're going to be a free agent player. Getting him, putting him alongside Well, you know what, McMahon? Just I feel like it's a home run move. You analyze it.
I could not think of a better fit for the point guard you want playing alongside Donovan Mitchell, and you know, obviously Gobert being part of this thing. But Mike Conley is a guy who can run the offense. He can play off the ball. He's a great teammate. Market size is completely irrelevant for him. He's gonna play hard and guard well. You know what he is? He's a much better version of George Hill, who was great in Utah. He's a much better version and a much more pleasant version, of George Hill. And as far as the money goes, yeah, that's a huge number for 2 years. His contract also expires right when Donovan Mitchell's rookie deal expires.
That's right.
So in that way, it matches up perfectly, because then, you know, it's okay. Conley's making whatever it is, 30, whatever, but it's your starting backcourt is making 30, you know, what, I didn't look at the numbers, 37, 38. And so that's fine for what would be one of the best backcourts, in the NBA. And I think there's a good chance this gets done. It'll be I'll say this. If they have to give up favors in the deal, that hurts. But I don't necessarily think
they're
gonna
have to
give up favors.
Well, how else are they going to get there? I mean, it's 32.
You can do Korver and Cephalosha.
Mm-mm. They can't. They're not giving up Korver. Or at least they certainly don't want to.
So remember, Conley's making $30 million. So you need a pretty big nugget. We've seen Rubio mentioned, although if I was Memphis, I might prefer Exum, unless they're just totally looking
for both. And that's what I'm getting at. So my understanding is what Memphis wants is expiring money. And, you know, that's Rubio and or favors. And young assets. And by that I mean either player or picks. Grayson Allen, I don't think they necessarily look at as a young asset.
Well, I wouldn't let Grayson Allen hold me back from getting Mike Conley. I'm gonna put it that way.
Oh no, I'm not, the Jazz aren't gonna let that happen, but I'm talking about from Memphis.
He's talking about coming back the other way.
Yeah, I don't think Memphis looks at Grayson Allen and thinks, you know,
this is the thing. It's got to make sense for Memphis, this trade. So they want that pick, won't they? Want the pick?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's going to be and I think the question here is it pick or picks? Is it plural or singular here? That to me is the question. I don't know how much they value, Dante Exum, who, you know, I think he's a talent. Obviously there's the health issues. He hadn't been able to stay healthy and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But, I think a deal, and I'm trying to crank in the trade machine here.
Well, after Denver and, you know, Denver's right up there along with, Golden State, but after that, it's a toss-up. I mean, there's a bunch of teams in there that could do anything. Utah makes this move, and one of the reasons why I think it makes a lot of sense is that Donovan Mitchell obviously is really good handling the ball. His season took a turn when Rubio got hurt and he had to become a ball handler. But they don't want him handling the ball all the time. And Conley has the ability, because he's a better outside shooter than Rubio,
yes,
to play both point guard and off guard at the same time. Not only that, he's
right, you just have two guards
presence
out there.
Right, and you
I just don't know if it's enough, though. Is it enough if you're Memphis?
Well, okay, I don't see the market.
And so Detroit's another team they're talking to. Detroit will have a higher pick, right? But like, you want to take back Reggie Jackson? So okay, I just punched it in.
What about the Spurs, though? What about the Spurs if they give him Mills and Lonnie Walker and throw in Gasol and a pick? What about that?
The Spurs are lurking,
but I think when you look when you the Spurs, you have to look at where they are in their timeline. You know, I don't know if this matches. I don't know if it matches up with what they want.
So let me tell you why I think
because you're getting Murray back, right? Too next
well,
year.
Not
Sorry,
next
go ahead,
year,
Tim.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with Murray. I think the Spurs really do look at him as, hey, this guy's got a bright future as our point guard.
Right.
So if it's Rubio plus Exum and a pick, that saves Memphis about $5 million this season, which let's not pretend that doesn't, matter in Memphis, where they're getting crowds that are smaller than what Penny's group's drawn at the, you know, with the Memphis Tigers. You know, it kind of hinges on what's their evaluation of Exum. You know, is he a guy they consider a promising young prospect? But then, you know, they're accomplishing their goal of saving money, young asset in Exum, and a young asset with a pick. Now, I think they're trying to get multiple picks, another pick. Again, it's find a better deal for a guy who's owed 60-some-odd million over the next 2 years.
I know. And so he's coming off an Achilles injury.
But I'll say this. I think the Jazz do need to make a trade because right now they're kind of, okay, hey, the Jazz are going to beat up teams when their schedule gets soft. But here they were. They were rolling, 115-20, 9-10. And they got humiliated on national TV by the Blazers this week. They got their asses whooped at home by a Rockets team that didn't have CP3, that didn't have Clint Capella. You know, I do think the trade talk is kind of shaking the locker room. You know, they've got great chemistry. They love Rubio, blah, blah, blah. But that to me also is like, okay, hey, this team, there's kind of a ceiling on it now that ceiling gets higher if they can pull this deal off.
Okay, so let's look at some other trade scenarios. You mentioned Detroit with Conley. Detroit has also talked to Memphis about Gasol. Drummond would possibly be involved in that deal. Detroit really, you know, they're on the playoff edge right now. They really want to sort of give themselves a chance to be a legitimate playoff team. And so they're looking to upgrade. Tom Gore is their owner. You know, it's just funny. Teams are in different places on the spectrum. There are certain teams that want nothing to do with finishing 6th, 7th, or 8th and would go the opposite direction. Tom Gores has made it very clear he'd love to be 6th, 7th, or 8th. He wants to be in the playoffs very badly. The question is, though, Gores has a great affinity for Andre Drummond. And, you know, I don't know where the Grizzlies are on Andre Drummond. That would potentially be the trade. Drummond is a bit of a polarizing player.
Yeah, and he's owed 27 next year. He's owed almost 29 the year after that. Like the Grizzlies, it's stripped down and built around Jaren Jackson Jr. And when you're doing that in a tiny market, you want to be cheap. you don't want big bloated salaries on that roster next year, the year after that. And so that, to me, Drummond just doesn't make any sense for the Grizzlies.
Well, and that's maybe why it won't get done. But remember, Ed Stefanski, who is now running the running the Pistons, was in Memphis for 5 or 6 years. So there's,
but the Pistons, from the word jump, they just don't fit. It's amazing they've done as well as they have this year, honestly, because their pieces don't fit. They haven't all year.
Yeah, Blake Griffin's really playing point forward, and he's
doing it pretty well, actually.
Yeah, he's been an all. It's been a really good job by Dwayne Casey, but they're not a compelling team. So Detroit's out there being very aggressive, trying to figure out something with Memphis. But the other team I think you should watch is Atlanta, who, by the way, is playing pretty well right now. They just had a really successful West Coast trip by their standards. Trae Young, who has been swallowed up by Luka Doncic. Trae Young has had a terrific last 6 weeks.
He's
putting
really
up
good,
great numbers. John Collins, who was, where was he? He was like he was in the teens, wasn't he? I don't think he was in the lottery.
But they loved him right from the jump. They were talking about him in Summer League in Vegas, how much they loved him.
Well, they knew what they had there. Star this year. He just had a 35-point game over the weekend. He's a power
forward. He was a 19th overall pick in 2017.
Yeah. And that's why Travis Schlenk got that job, by the way, because of his role in helping, he was out there on the front lines when they drafted Draymond Green and drafted Klay Thompson and stuff like that. So
I'm going to read you John Collins' numbers. 19.7 points a game, shooting 37% from three, 58% from the line, averaging almost 10 rebounds a game. That's pretty good.
You mean 58% from the floor?
From the floor, yeah. What did I say?
Right. You said the line. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, the field.
He's a dynamic.
I still call it, he's great. Numbers are great.
He's a dynamic finisher who stretched his range out to 3-point. And I'm telling you, the Hawks, they are my Sleeper league pass favorite. They're a fun to watch team. Trae Young has been absolutely spectacular for the, like you said, about the last 6 weeks. I mean, he's such a fun passer. You know, the redhead rookie is a nice player. They're a couple years away from being
Kevin Herter.
Yeah, they're a couple years away
another
from being
another guy taken late.
A playoff team for sure.
So they are in the market. Jeremy Lin is out there. I think there's a good chance Jeremy Lin's going to get traded to somebody who needs a quality guard. So I think Taurean Prince, who was the apple of their eye a couple of years ago, he got hurt this year, and that's what kind of opened the door for Herter and some of their other young guys. Taurean Prince is available. I'll tell you the team that makes a ton of sense. Yeah, he's still on his rookie deal. The team that makes sense for Prince is Oklahoma City, but I don't know Oklahoma City has to trade. They're out future picks. Their payroll is enormous.
Mm-hmm. What about the Sixers for Taurean Prince?
Maybe. I also thought the Blazers, although the Blazers just picked up Rodney Hood for relative cheap yesterday. But Kent Bazemore has been rumored, but I have not heard. Doesn't mean I'm the most plugged-in guy in the world, but I have not heard a word about Kent Bazemore in the last week.
They've been shopping him forever and ever and ever because they want to get off his money for next year, and that's the same reason why it's going to be really hard to move him. And, you know, it's funny. The Hawks, we're talking about how well they've been playing, and it's all relative, but for a rebuilding team, you know, they've really been playing well for 6 weeks or so now. They've been playing better than was planned. They're supposed to be in the mix for a top three pick, and they're screwing that up. Now, I will say this. The Hawks benefited from the Porzingis deal and from the fact that Porzingis looks like he won't play the rest of the season because they've got that Mavs pick, and you know it was looking like, oh, man, it might be 11-12. Now it looks much more like it'll be back in that 7-8-9 territory where they were hoping it would be.
That's the thing about the Hawks. We just were complimenting Travis Schlenk on his draft picks. He's going to get two more lottery picks this year.
Yeah.
Assuming that the Mavericks pick. Wouldn't it be amazing? I did think about this over the weekend, McMahon. Wouldn't it be unbelievable if...
if they lucked into the top pick in the draft?
One thing I'm just going to say about this, the new lottery, just to remind people. Granted, the Mavericks' percentages might not be that high, but keep in mind, so their pick, they keep their pick if it's in the top five. That was what they paid for Doncic. To move up two spots, they paid with next year's draft pick, top five protected, or this year's draft pick now.
Because they had bad lottery luck last year and ended up at five instead of three where their odds were.
All right, I'm just going to point something out. The top four teams are the top four spots in the lottery are plucked out of the machine now, and not the top three. So you get four bites at the apple to have your number pulled. And remember, let's say the Knicks end up with the worst record and they have a 16% chance or whatever. The Knicks can come up seven times in a row for the second pick. Once they're out, the percentages change for everybody. So wouldn't it be unbelievable for the Mavericks? Forget about the top pick. Let's just say that they somehow get in the top four and they keep their pick and they have Doncic and Porzingis, and they get to actually draft in the top four.
Yeah, then another top four talent.
That, you know, it's just, I'm just going to just leave it on the shelf over there. But Atlanta, in theory, assuming there isn't lottery maneuvering, Atlanta is going to have two lottery picks to add to this young core, and Travis Schlenk's going to draft them, and he's already shown he's going to be good.
I love Travis Schlenk, but the other thing people could say is, oh yeah, he's shown he's so great at evaluating talent that he passed up on Luka Doncic with the third overall pick.
Fair, but his overall record's pretty good. Yes, Andrew.
Brian, we have to go to commercials on some platforms again. But while we're waiting, can you tell us about that superstar that was offered for that Doncic pick that Atlanta turned down in favor of Dallas's offer?
Because they felt like Dallas was going to stink this year. They were, that, you know, I don't know.
And
maybe they were right about that.
We're back.
Maybe they were right about that. So a couple other things I think we should watch. The Lakers may do a trade that doesn't involve.
Yes. Hopefully we get to this.
They may do a trade that doesn't involve Anthony Davis. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I believe the reporting has been out there that he has not been included in any of the offers to New Orleans. I think the LA Times reported that, but I'm behind. That is not necessarily the case for everybody. Caldwell-Pope is available and has been floated out there for some spots. One place that they have talked to, now I'm not saying this deal is going to get done, but one place that they have talked to is Chicago for Jabari Parker. And the thing about this is that Caldwell-Pope has to approve of a trade. That's one of the reasons why it kind of gets known a little bit, because they have to run it through him. And I'm not sure that's going to get done, but that's been discussed. But some team, I mean, the Bulls really like Caldwell-Pope. They're not doing that, like, you know, to do anything. But, you know, Jabari Parker could be a Laker within the next few days, which, you know, Jabari's a polarizing player, but, you know, he might be interesting on the Lakers. I think the Lakers they're in 10th place right now. Let's just be honest. And, yeah, they have champagne dreams about what they're going to get, but this team wants to make the playoffs. And I think they definitely made a mistake with LeBron, playing him 40 minutes. And granted, they were not plotting on him to be an overtime game, and they caught. But LeBron obviously either came back a little too soon or they overplayed him. And now I'm really worried about how he's going to go with that groin in the next few weeks. They're beginning a road trip. It started in Golden State, and now they're coming east, and they're playing Indy tomorrow. Then they're playing Philly and Boston on the road. Not good. Don't be surprised if they do something with Caldwell-Pope to try to bolster their roster. And Jackie, some little disturbance going on with L.A. with Luke Walton the other night, depending on what you believe happened in the locker room.
But wait a minute. Can we just talk about the radio station in Phoenix that said they had traded for Lonzo Ball? Did you see this? They had a report on Saturday that they traded for Lonzo Ball, and then they deleted it, the Phoenix Suns. Did you guys see this?
I did not see it. Was it Gambo who reported it? Because
it was a report on – I just saw it, and then it disappeared. I saw it come up, and then I was like, what? And then I went to look for it, and it had been deleted. Yeah. So anyway.
Well,
Lonzo Ball to the Suns. That was interesting to me.
I got a kick. Well, that would be interesting because they need a point guard. I got a kick out of Lonzo's camp via the LA Times, saying that he didn't really want to be in New Orleans and that he would prefer to be rerouted in that trade. I know that players are taking control these days, that they're grasping the power vacuum and saying, "Hey, I don't want to play here. I don't want to play there." But I do not think Mr. Ball has yet achieved enough in the league to declare where he's going to play.
It's just silly. All silly. But yeah, the Luke Walton thing, that was, I don't know. It's inevitable to me when you have a bunch of young players, all of whom whose names are splattered across websites and podcasts and everywhere else as trade bait for, you know, one of the biggest stars in the league. LeBron sits out at that game. He's sore. You're playing the Golden State Warriors. Everybody's on edge. Of course, you know, Luke's future has been a constant topic, for all sorts of reasons. So, I'm glad Luke challenged this players. To me, it wasn't a negative. I think people
quit. If you watch the game, they had a really good 2.5 quarters, give or take, and then they just quit passing.
Right.
They just quit passing.
Hero ball, right? Hero ball. That's what happens when you're young and you're behind and you want to try to
get it. But it's not young players. He was calling out the Michael Beasleys, the JaVale McGees. I mean, he was calling out old knuckleheads.
Well, speaking of which, does Michael Beasley have the cachet to start talking about how many shots he should get? And come on,
you're on the minimum, JaVale. You're on the minimum.
Well, Beasley's getting more than the minimum, but let me just say that.
Well, sorry,
Caldwell-Pope for Jabari Parker doesn't work straight up. The Lakers would have to put something else in that deal, so just let you ruminate on that. They're obviously not going to put something in that would affect their offer to New Orleans if it comes to that. But you know, I don't know, maybe changing out some faces in the locker room wouldn't be the worst idea there. Again, just because they want to make the playoffs this year, forget about Anthony Davis. They're in 10th place facing a tough road trip. It's getting concerning. Yeah. And LeBron is, you know, this has been like no other injury he's ever had. And the fact that he's now had to pull himself back out after coming back for a game. He's just, I don't know if it's age 34, Jackie, or what it is, but it's worrisome.
Well, I had a question about that, Brian. Why is he playing 40 minutes in his first game back?
Mm. Well, you know, it was overtime. They wanted to play him 32. They played him 35, and they go to overtime. You know, it's a game against the Clippers, a team that they're fighting with for playoff positioning. I mean, you're not getting LeBron out of that game. And I don't know, he might have been just as sore after playing 35 minutes as he was playing 40. I mean, that was one of the things LeBron always used to say. We used to, you know, count his minutes, and we used to, you know, be like, hey, you're 37 tonight, weren't you supposed to be 34? And he just would, like, basically slap us across the face and be like, it doesn't make a difference to me whether I play 37 or 34. You're out of your mind. You don't know me. So maybe he would have been sore anyway. I thought it was interesting
But 40 minutes is a lot of minutes after being out as long as he was.
I thought it was interesting that they had him listed as out.
Right.
And then they upgraded him to doubtful. And then he decided to play. And it makes me wonder if maybe he shouldn't have waited a couple of extra days. And I assume it was him pushing for it because the team listed him as out. And, you know, maybe it's not the team's fault. Maybe it's his fault for rushing himself back a little bit. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's worrisome. McMahon, is there anything else in the trade market that you're watching between now and Thursday?
I mean, just hyper locally. I'm curious to see if the Mavericks might be able to move Harrison Barnes because that would be their path to flexibility again this summer.
Sacramento has been the team that's been rumored there. Is that right?
I mean, you certainly, you know, you've mentioned them, and I don't know. It's a big number next year, $25 million. But if Sacramento sees him as a guy who can help them compete for the playoffs next year, and they have some expiring contracts, then that could be interesting.
So Houston also, another one of your teams, they are out there dangling Brandon Knight in a first round pick, although I'm sure that pick is protected, to get some help now.
Yeah, the problem with that is Knight's owed about $16 million next year.
Right. So basically, you'd be buying that pick for $16 million, whatever it is.
Yes. And, you know, look, they, Marquise Chris, I mean, if you need to make some salary work, blah, blah, blah. It was funny. Marquise Chris's agent, through our buddy Chris Haynes, gave one of those, I think it might have even been the same day or like the day after AD's trade request went public, but play him or trade him. And the Rockets people I talked to were like, does he not realize we've been trying like hell to trade him all year long?
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, it's like, I mean, find someone to take him, please.
What about all these guys? What about the Orlando guys?
So Orlando, their big decision is whether or not to hold on to Nikola Vucevic.
He's going to be value.
He's going to be really expensive. I mean, I don't know. This is a debate. Is there really a market for centers out there this summer?
Well, and that also gets back to, can the Mavericks move Harrison Barnes? Because a Bill Duffy client who could play next to Porzingis with fellow Bill Duffy client Luka Doncic, I think if the Mavericks had flexibility there, it absolutely would be a market for him here.
But Gasol might opt out. I don't think he should, but Gasol might opt out depending on where he is. DeAndre Jordan's going to be a free agent. Vucevic is a free agent. Brook Lopez is a free agent. How many of these guys are going to get paid? But to your point, Jackie, you know, he just made the All-Star team.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, like, and you know what? It's really hard to trade him at this point.
Right. I do think, though, and I use Golden State as an example, you need a big man who can play in the trenches, and you don't have to play him all the time. And DeMarcus Cousins is the perfect example. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, there's been a lot of talk about how great he's been. he certainly has been good. But when they win games, they go at the end of the game, they go small. And that's what they're going to do. They, when they go small and start switching, they suffocate teams. And so if the big man understands that, yes, you can play and you're going to get minutes and you'll get some points, but we might, at the end of games, this is what we might do. I think you, it behooves you to have a big guy. You know, teams beat up the Warriors before they had DeMarcus Cousins. You need somebody like that.
That's another free agent I forgot about.
I was going to say, the biggest name of the free agent centers this summer.
But my point is there is a place for them, but it's just not the way it used to be. But that doesn't mean there isn't value in having a big guy on your team that can be a bruiser, that can fill up minutes, that can fill up holes. It's just, you can't let it alter the way you play. That's all.
I mean, Brook Lopez to me has been the best value contract from last summer.
Yeah,
He's not even playing like a center anyway.
Speaking of the Bucks, who by the way are just wrecking the league right now. They got the best record in the league. They just went into Toronto. Toronto played everybody except, you know, they had a couple of guys, you know, Valanciunas is hurt. And they just stepped on Toronto's throat on their court Thursday night, and Mike Budenholzer locked up all-star coach with that. The Bucks are out there sniffing around to make an addition. I don't think it would be a major move, but they're out there sniffing around to add something to their roster because, hell, if you're the Bucks, you know, you got to feel good about yourself. They have beaten all the best teams in the league. They've handled
every
Denver.
They've
beaten the Warriors. They went 3-1 against the Raptors. They've had some success against the Celtics. I don't know what. I know they lost a game in Boston.
They lost in November, early November, on the Celtics floor. They lost to them, but they're just. I mean, they have everything you need. You know, there's all sorts of things you could still do. George Hill has helped them. You know,
They're trying to offload Tony Snell because he's got money owed to him the last couple of years.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Too.
Thon Maker is the asset they're likely to trade to get somebody. Yeah. But you know they're trying on Tony Snell. Okay, so we missed at the end of January because we were in
It wasn't the end
recovery.
Of January yet. It wasn't the end of January
That's
yet.
Fair.
You have to have
That's
the
fair.
Full month.
So we are now into February, which means the Cojones Factor Player of the Month for January is owed to our listeners. McMahon, take the floor.
Yeah, and Andrew the Hammer Hahn says you guys no longer have a vote. So you are now Cojones Factors.
All right, then.
You're now Cojones Factors critics.
Have a nice day.
But it is... No. Now you just get to sit back and take shots at me and tell me how wrong I am. But you no longer have a vote. So I will present to you, from honorable mention down to the Cojones Factor Player of the Month winner, the one-man polls decisions here. Honorable mention
okay.
goes to a dude I covered when he was at Siegelville High School in Dallas, has carried the Spurs in the month of January when DeMar DeRozan hit a wall, was dealing with injury issues, was really struggling. LaMarcus Aldridge, 38 points in 36 clutch minutes, 14 to 24 from the floor in those situations. And like I said, just put the Spurs on his back when their other all-star candidate really was struggling. So
that's our
honorable mention.
Honorable mention for the Coyote for catching the bat.
Hey, I tell you what, that was as good a defensive play as we've seen in the NBA this season. No question about it. But that
Wearing
was in February.
The Batman costume.
That was in February
All
though.
All right, fair.
So
fair,
he's,
fair.
The Coyote is certainly in the early running for Cojones Factor Player of the Month for February, but you're going to have to be patient for that. Third place. And I saw this guy live on Friday night, and man, is he good and should be generating some discussion in premature MVP talks. Nikola Jokic. This dude had the best clutch plus minus of the month, plus 38 in 21 minutes. 23 points.
Bringing the numbers, Jackie. He's bringing the numbers.
I like it.
I love it when he does this.
You got to
get those clutch numbers. And he's a center who had an off-dribble, wrong-footed floater with 2 seconds left to win a road game in Miami, Nikola Jokic. And, man, the Nuggets are good. They are young.
I saw
they
them
are fun.
Spank the Rockets without their starting backcourt. Malik Beasley.
Monty Morris.
Up for 35.
Malik Beasley.
Dude, they've got the best young guard depth.
Torrey Craig. They got lots of good stuff.
Torrey Craig was amazing.
They won a game over the weekend. They didn't have Jamal Murray or Gary Harris.
And they beat the crap out of the Rockets. And they damn near snapped Harden's streak. They were mad that they didn't. And that was the game after Mike Malone, after that game says, you know, we've beaten everybody. We've beaten all comers because it was their first win over the Rockets in 9 games. And the Bucks, quote was like, you know, 2-0 hashtag feathered. I guess they hadn't beaten Milwaukee. But anyways, Nikola Jokic is the third place finisher here. The man who previously his best clutch moments only came in Gatorade commercials, but man, he's had some this
Thank
season.
You.
Talking
Thank
Paul
you.
George, of course. Had 43 points in 41 clutch minutes. He had that 4-point play with 5 seconds left to beat Philly in Philly. That was his second Gatorade commercial moment of the season after he was 0 for a whole bunch
14.
Of potential game-winning shots in the last 10 seconds coming in. And, you know, again, I think Harden's the clear-cut favorite for MVP at this point. I think Giannis is number 2, but Paul George and Jokic, to me, that's 3-4. And whatever order you want to discuss right there. But this is maybe the biggest honor of his career, despite the fact that he's reigning the MVP. James Harden is getting Cajoni's Factor Player of the Month for January.
Yet again.
I mean, the scoring was ridiculous all month long. Averaged 43.6. Over 600 points in a month. Something that hadn't been done since Michael Jordan in March of 87. But in the clutch, 60 clutch points, 37 minutes, and hey, we all watched what he did in Oakland. That game in and of itself, to drill the game winner from like 29 feet out with Draymond Green all in his face, Klay Thompson up in his grill, that's the Cajonis Factor shot of the season so far. So congratulations, James Harden. Put this mythical trophy right next to your MVP trophy. You are
he also had something to say after he made that shot, too. It was a quality trash talk after he made that shot. Jackie,
certainly
that was
hard
a
to argue.
Very impressive presentation there from Mr. McMahon.
It was. Hard to argue with. Although I would say, and I know it's not always, it has to be on the court, but we should have given Anthony Davis a honorable mention for just the cojones of not only asking for a trade, but having the machine working on overdrive to get him where he wants. That takes some
time. How about Anthony Davis Sr. Gets
mentioned?
You know what, though? I deducted points from Anthony Davis because I wasn't impressed with his press conference performance.
Okay.
That's
fair
true.
Enough.
It was
you've got the cojones to make this happen. Go all in. Go all in.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll go. I'll give you.
All right. Well, this was – I loved this podcast. It was wonderful. I'm sorry to have it end, but we have to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
Is it making you feel better?
It does, actually.
Oh,
when
Brian.
I get to work, I feel better. I feel better when I get to work, so that's always a positive. Maybe I'll be in L.A. this week. Maybe I won't be. Jackie says stay home.
Stay home. Take care of yourself.
Battling pneumonia. So,
yeah,
but so I'm still delivering podcasts. So I appreciate you listeners. Thank you, McMahon. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you to Josh in Bristol. And thank you to Andrew Hahn for producing. This has been the Hoop Collective podcast. And we'll talk to you later this week, but who knows what will have happened in the NBA.